As regular listeners of this program will know, that used to be the theme for Choice Tunes. And the interview I'm going to do now is very much like the old Choice Tunes. We've got the person in front of me. We've got the songs that have been part of her life, and she's going to tell us why as we go. But I interviewed this lady a few months ago, and during that interview, we touched on her life, and I think it's been an amazing life. And one of the reasons I particularly wanted to do this, because I know there are possibly people that are affected with drugs at the moment who would like to get off them. They may have a family member that's been on drugs, and find them in all sorts of different situations. And this lady, as I can test to you now, is sitting in front of me. She's a very healthy-looking lady, so she's no longer on drugs, and she's going to tell us how she got there and why she got. So she is going to be presenting on this station on a Monday between 11 and 12 starting next Monday, so it's a big day for her. But today we talked a lot about that in the last interview about the show she was going to do. But today I want to talk to her about her life, and I think it's from what I've heard, and I haven't heard a lot, it's a very inspirational life. So first of all, it's my pleasure to say to hello to Helen Taylor. How are you, Helen?
I'm good, Alan. Thank you.
And we've got a list of songs which we're going to play as we go through it. But first of all, can I just ask you where you were born? Not when. I'm not going to ask your age, just where you were born.
Melbourne, Victoria.
Right, you're a Melbourne girl.
Yeah.
Now, from what you told me last time, your childhood wasn't a really happy childhood.
No. There was just that father of mine in the background. He had learned how to poison my mind. That's probably the best way to put it. Yeah.
When you say that, against other people or just in general?
Just towards me, to keep me small and shut up and quiet and.
Can I
traumatized? That's the word. Traumatized.
Traumatized. Mm. Can I just ask you, did you have any brothers or sisters?
Yes, I'm the eldest. I had a brother then, a year younger, a sister 6 years younger, and a sister 11 years younger.
So did your father treat them all the same, or was there some reason why you got treated worse than the others? Because that happens in some families.
You know, I realised over the years that part of him was pretty scared of me.
Was it?
Yeah. I didn't realise back when I was a kid, but he wanted to shut me down and he wanted to keep me quiet because he kind of had this intuition or this instinct that I could see right through him, and he had a lot to hide.
Did he?
Yeah. But I was only a child, so I wasn't aware of that. It was years later that I figured out that I had sort of a presence about me. I've come across it other times in my life where people feel like they want to run a million miles from me, and I'd think, why? I don't understand.
All right. Well, you haven't frightened me yet. I'm not running out the studio.
Good.
All right, so let me just ask you, at what age did you leave home?
Good question. Now I've got to go into the memory banks, don't I, Alan? Hey?
No, it doesn't matter if you don't know.
I think I was about 19.
Oh, so you stayed home until you were more of an adult.
Yeah.
Could I just ask you, what was your first part-time job?
The local newsagents around the corner.
Right.
I was working the cash register and the counter.
Just after school or weekends or what?
No, I never did any work after, like, while I was at school and things.
You?
No, didn't even cross my mind. It was after I finished school. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't know who I wanted to be.
All right. Fleetwood Mac, The Chain. Why did you pick that song?
Because that's such a poignant song for when I was 16 years old. It was an album that was just, I loved it. I just loved it. It reminds me of my 16th birthday party and all of the rage and anger, actually, that I had when I was 16.
So it doesn't remind you of anything really good. It reminds you more of the anger that was in your life at that time.
Yes, but it was really good because it was my escapism.
Was it?
The music was my escape.
Let's play it.
Thank you.
Alan, right, you're 19, you've left home. So is that the first time you had a boyfriend, or did you have a... I'm really keen to move along because there's a couple of subjects I really want to get on. Did you have a boyfriend when you were at home or after you'd left home?
My first boyfriend was at 18 and he was about 8 years older than me, and that was while I was at home.
That's a, what did Mum and Dad think of that?
I have no idea.
You didn't take any
notice? I have no idea. But you know how I talked about my dad poisoning my mind before? I was just thinking that he just instilled incredible doubt. I doubted every single thought I had. I doubted everything I did in life. And I felt really lucky to actually have this guy paying attention to me and being my boyfriend.
Even though he was 8 years old?
Even though he was 8 years older. And he was like my escape vehicle. I thought I was going to hitch onto him and get out of that house and keep going. I was even too scared to move out of home. That's why I didn't move out till I was 19. I didn't know how to do it. Where I was going to go, nothing.
So I'm going to ask you, and you can tell me to buzz off, did you move in with him? Is that what gave you the courage to move, or had you already, what happened?
No. I self-sabotaged that. He actually gave me opportunities. He came from quite a wealthy family. He gave me opportunities to, you know, go skiing and go, you know, out on Lake Eildon and do all sorts of wonderful things I'd never done before.
Yeah.
He even got me a job as a model. I was asked to be a model, and it freaked me out because of that insecurity, that doubt that I always had. I just sabotaged the whole thing, and we ended up going separate ways. Yeah.
All right. So then you got married along the line.
Yeah, I got engaged after that to a fella, and then when that went south again...
Oh, that went south too?
That went south too.
Did you sabotage that one as well? Or?
No, I didn't realise I had a closet psycho that I was going out with.
Where you didn't hang around there.
Real crazy.
Yep.
No, and after him, that was when I kind of... Yeah, I met my husband, yeah. Yep.
And at what age were you then?
27.
Well, that's a fair age. Because a lot of them were getting married at 19, 20, 22, 23. So 27's a fair age.
Yeah.
Not that you were old, but I'm just saying, in comparison to a lot of the other girls, that you would have found a lot of your girlfriends would have been married long before 27.
Well, I recycled girlfriends too.
You sabotage them?
No, not particularly. I wasn't really a conformist. I didn't walk in the same direction as everybody else. I was always questioning and challenging things and looking the other way. So, no, it was just cycles in my life. I saw that people, you know, I had in primary school, then I moved on to the friends I had in high school, and then I moved on to the friends I had after high school.
That's fair enough. All right. So I know you're not married to that man. So how long were you married there?
7 years.
Have any children?
Three children. Yeah, three boys, gorgeous boys.
I'm going to ask you this, and you've got every right to tell me to buzz off. Did you sabotage that relationship, or did you find that he was a bit like your dad?
No, he's a wonderful man, but he had shortcomings of his own just as much as I did, and we'd reached this kind of point in our marriage where the communication was just zero. We couldn't evolve and become and keep the relationship going. There were cracks appearing everywhere, and both of us were incapable of figuring out how to overcome them.
So you're both better off to split and go your own ways.
Yeah, but I wasn't so wise at that time to see it that way either,
So did that upset you, the marriage breakup, or did you feel this is a good way to get out?
Oh, greatly. I went through a myriad of emotions over months and months and months trying to make that work and, you know, coming to the realisation piece by piece that I couldn't fix it.
Yep.
I just couldn't.
Right. Duran Duran, Girls on Film. Why did you pick that?
That is from when I was engaged to the man that ended up being a psycho. It was actually when I first met him. He was a blind date that I got set up on. My girlfriend Erica had found a wonderful partner, and she thought that I deserved to have such a wonderful...
Well, she shouldn't be afraid of yours, and if she set you up with a psycho...
Well, he wasn't. He was a lovely guy. He really lovely guy. But anyway, he lived in Portland. I lived here in Melbourne. And so it became a romance over four hours drive. drive, where I would frequently drive to his place and he would drive down to mine and stay the weekend. And Duran Duran was on the CDs.
There were a bunch of CDs
that kept me going for 4 hours. Absolutely. I loved it.
Right, let's listen. I'm talking to Helen Taylor, and she's going to be, well, she starts next Monday between 11 and 12 on Yarra Valley FM, so she'll be a very inspiring lady to listen to. Now, Helen, I want to touch a very dicey subject here because, and the reason I'm going to touch it is because you told us on air last time, and I also believe you've written a book about your life, and that's in there, and you tell the story that you got involved with drugs.
Yep.
Now, how did you get involved with drugs? Were you with a group who said, look, this is really good, you want to take this stuff? Were you with another person, or how did you get involved with drugs?
So as I said earlier about being 16 and being really angry, a lot going on, right? I had to do something to kind of get that shoved down and out of the way because for a couple of years I was just getting angry at everything and it wasn't good. So at probably 18 with that first boyfriend, I discovered dope and how it...
We don't want to in any way tell people who he was.
No.
But was he already involved and he got you involved, or did you both get involved, or just you?
He was already involved. That was what he was doing. Right. And I had a choice. I could, you know, he wasn't pushing it down my throat, right. But, you know, I wanted to be accepted. I wanted to be liked. So yeah. I didn't mind having a joint every now and then. It was fun.
But it got a lot more serious than the joint now and again.
Not at that point.
No.
It escalated over the years, you know. Every time I tried to live my life like everybody else was and find yep. a good relationship and, you know, get engaged and all those sorts of things, none of it worked for me. So each time I kind of fell back into being living on my own and doing my own thing, I just connected more and more with other drugs. So yep. I tried lots of things.
Yep. So, and let's go down this track, because I'm really keen for people that are listening to know that you are a sane person and that you got off drugs. At what stage, or apart from your age, was there something where you just thought, if I keep doing this, I'm going to die? Or at what point did you say, enough of the drugs?
Well, you have to hit the bottom a couple of times. That's what it was like for me. And
hang on, I don't want to gloss over it. What was the bottom? Was it your wake up, or what? You say you hit the bottom a couple of times. What was the actual bottom?
Well, one was when I was, I'm just trying to think of what age it was, probably mid-20s, and I was working in law, and working for a sole practitioner and, you know, really thought I had my act together. And I went into the office one day and he put me in the car and we drove out into the country to a pub, and he just said to me, "What's wrong? What the hell's going on with you?" And he said, you know, and I was honest with him. I said, "I'm just losing the plot. I'm just so wired on these drugs."
Yeah.
He said to me, "You go home right now. When we get back there, you go and you let your parents know what's going on."
And how old were you then?
I'm pretty sure about 24 or 25.
Yep.
He said, "You get home, you go and do that, or I'm going to tell them." Like, he just wanted me to let family know.
No, yep.
Because he realised that I was really having a hard time.
So was that the final, or did you then go, you told your parents,
yep.
you tried to get off drugs, did you go back on them again, or was it only the once?
Absolutely. Went back on it again. I went and told them. My mum and dad had no concept or idea how to handle anyone on drugs. None whatsoever. And really were very, very poor at confrontation. They didn't like it at all. They, you know, sort of read me the riot act and stuff, and then went off and kept doing their own lives. So off I went and got back into it and kept doing what I was doing.
So how did you go with that boss? Like, did he eventually say that you'll have to go? Because
I moved on and I started doing temp work and stuff, because that way no one could get a kind of handle on me and what I was doing.
So how many times did you hit rock bottom?
I don't know. Lots.
More than twice.
Lots, yeah.
Lots of times.
Yep.
All right, so when was the last time, and what made you say, "I've just got to get off these altogether"? Because obviously you're not on them now. So
yep.
How low were you, and at what stage in your life?
So I'm thinking it was after my marriage had gone south, and I was in a relationship with the guy that was, it was a pretty domestic, violent relationship.
Right.
He wasn't necessarily hitting me and stuff, but he was absolutely, he was taking all my money. He was, you know, he just made me feel like I was nothing at
You've
all.
Had some bad choices of men, haven't you?
Oh, shockers, Alan, shockers.
I shouldn't laugh,
know.
But it just sounds...
But it was my level of self-worth the whole time, right?
So you didn't... You didn't feel as though you're worth much more than...
No, I mean, you know, on some subconscious level, that stuff that my dad told me for years when I was a kid was always at work telling me I was worth nothing more than what I had, right?
All right, so let's just come to the final straw. Something said to you, "I've got to get off these drugs."
It was going into the family room area where the boyfriend was.
Yep.
And saying just something insignificant to him, and him flying across the room, putting his hands around my throat, picking me up off the floor, and I knew I'd taken my last breath.
True.
And in that moment, I said, "I'll do whatever it takes."
Right.
And I meant it. and he dropped me. And from that day forward, he kept giving me drugs and I just started stashing them. He kept trying to take my money, but I kept stashing some as well. Yep. And I step by step started looking at how to get a job, how to start planning to get out of that house, because I had my kids with me as well.
Oh, right? Did you?
Yes.
So
yes.
Do you, we need to play the next song. Do you think your children knew that you're on drugs? Were they old enough?
They were primary school, so...
No, they could have.
I don't know.
Yeah. All right, we'll just take this break. Krista Berg, the lady in red. What does this mean? Did you have a red dress? Because, as a matter of fact, I think somebody is listening to me at the very moment. They love red. They say it makes them feel really good. Why are we playing the lady in red?
Because this was the song that we played at my wedding to my husband.
Yep.
He chose it. And this epitomises how he saw me. He adored me. He saw me as this wonderful prize. He was so happy to have me as his wife. And I love to listen to it because it reminds me of that.
Of good days. Let's play it.
Yeah.
You and me is where I wanna be.
Now, Helen, you've been very courageous to tell us about your drug usage. There are two things I want to ask you about it, and you may very well not want to answer the second one. But the first one, it's you'd on a number of occasions you tried to get off drugs and they didn't work. The final time when you got off them, how did you get off them? Did you go into a program, or were you so self-willed that you said, that's it today and I'm not taking any more?
Yep. I stopped. Absolutely.
Without any intervention.
And the crazy thing too, no withdrawals. Nothing.
Gee, that was lucky.
Looking back now and when I speak about it to other people, it's a formidable thing to do. And it just talks of how we can have such a strong will. We can do all sorts of things.
And that's why I particularly wanted to do this interview, because as I said at the start, there might be people listening who are on drugs, who are battling, or there will be people that we know that are listening that have relatives that are on drugs. And I really wanted to, I guess, get across to them that there is an opportunity.
Yeah. And look, I needed a focus, right? And the focus was my children.
Yeah.
It wasn't me, because I was still feeling like I wasn't worth much. Yeah. But, you know, I had to get out. I mean, you know, the threat of nearly dying, yeah, was enough.
I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm half expecting you to tell me to buzz off.
I feel like I need a drum roll coming in here.
You know, well, it's a very deep personal question I'm going to ask you. When you're on drugs... Drugs, I believe, I've never been on them, thank goodness, can get very expensive. So how did you fund it? Now, if you don't want to tell me that, that's fine.
That's a good question. And yeah, it was also one of my battles as well. Yeah. I think that out the other side of it, I can say that I didn't turn into a criminal for it. I didn't, you know, steal from my mum and dad. Yep. I didn't take the jewels and all the rest of it.
Yep.
But you beg, borrowed and stole. I've been begged, borrowed and stole in advance from other people, you know, I'll pay you back.
And so you got enough to do that? You got enough money from people to be able to do that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean...
You must have owned debts everywhere.
No, not at all. You know, you really got... I don't know what it's like these days. I mean, I'm talking 40 years ago.
Yep.
It was, you know, it became just a part of the expenses that I had, like cigarettes and alcohol.
So you are able to fund it yourself?
Because yeah,
some people steal and some people...
Yeah, I get what you're getting at now. I didn't have to do any of those sorts of things. It was just, part of my expenses for the week and...
Yeah. How bad were the drugs? Like, did you wipe yourself out, or did you just get happy when you took your drugs, or what happened?
Oh, there were times that I just wiped myself out. And actually, now what we're saying about funding it, when I was with the fella that tried to kill me, he was a drug dealer, so I became a drug dealer. So that's how I funded it.
So you sold it to other drug users?
Sold it to other drug users, absolutely.
Do you feel bad about that?
Nope.
Because at the time you just needed the money for the fix.
Yeah, it was just running a shop, basically.
All right, I'm going to take a break because I want to lighten the mood up. The whole idea of this interview is... But I really wanted to point out to people that, A, how you can get into drugs so easy, how you can be at the lowest of lows and still keep taking them, but that there was light at the end of the tunnel, because obviously... You're a prime example of it. So I wanted to touch that, but I want to now lighten it up a bit and have a bit of fun. So we're going to listen to Corona with Rhythm of the Night. Why did you pick that one?
Because that was a song that was around the time that I was with that fella.
Yep.
He also owned a brothel, so...
Sorry, I shouldn't laugh, but you've got some crackers of people, yeah.
Well, and I worked in there. That's how I first got connected with him, right?
You want to sort of...
As a receptionist.
Yeah, I knew you weren't one of the ladies.
And the crazy thing was that, I was quite intrigued and curious about this whole new world. So I would let people know I was a receptionist until I realised that every girl that was working in there, they all called themselves receptionists too, right?
So why Rhythm of the Night?
Because that's the song that was current at that time. It reminds me of that whole era of my life.
Right, let's play.
This is the rhythm of the night. This is
Alan, I do want to lighten the mood a bit, but I think you've been extremely gutsy to come and tell us about part of your life that probably you now wish hadn't happened, but it has happened. But I'd like to sort of move on a bit. But what I will say to the listeners, if you've got somebody in your family that's struggling with drugs, or if you've got you yourself are, or you're listening to it now, get people to listen to the podcast. There'll be a podcast up with this very early next week, and I'd really like it if you pass it on to them. They don't have to listen to it with you. They can download it. They can do whatever they like and listen to it. So I'd certainly recommend it, because Helen is a prime example of somebody that's got off them. Now, I just want to ask you this. This is a bit lighter. With a couple of relationships, apart from them turning a bit bad, did you always seem to sour your own relationship? You've said a number of these went bad. Were they just that you'd picked the wrong people, or were they just you yourself sabotaged them as well?
That's a big question, isn't it? I think with the first fella I went out with, you know, he was offering me, he seemed like such an adult. Yep. Such an adult. I felt like such a child.
Well, he was at 8 years older.
Absolutely.
But particularly 8 years now would make a big difference. But when you were 18 or 16.
Yeah, 18 it was, yeah.
And he's 26.
So I was hanging around with his friends and you know, colleagues and stuff, and they were all older. So I was a bit, you know, kind of... I was learning fast. I was learning fast, but I was terribly insecure, and everything that he was offering was making me feel more and more insecure, and I just couldn't sustain it. I just couldn't sustain it.
Yeah.
And then a girlfriend of mine started moving in on him. I knew that she was, you know, kind of getting a bit flirty, and she ended up doing something pretty off at a party that we were at. We were all staying and we were sleeping in sleeping bags, and she set hers up next to him, and I saw her getting into that sleeping bag with nothing on. Mm. So I went, and what did I do? I pulled her out of it. I let the whole room know that she was making a hit on my guy.
Yeah.
And that was the end straw. He just the next morning dropped me home and we were done.
That was it. But in the other relationships you had, did you sabotage him as well, or were they just you picked
the wrong
person?
Next one that I got engaged to, he was the one that just, you know, he was wonderful. He was wonderful, but he was always very stressed and had a lot of undercurrents, I suppose, and he hit me.
Yeah, that's a good reason.
I don't know whether I caused that, right? But
all right, I want to ask you another question, because you've always been a bit rebellious as a young girl. Were you one of these ladies who joined the protest movement? Were you in there waving the bay, like the left winger, or out there with the signs and all that? Were you part of that?
No, I wasn't. No.
All right, so you're rebellious in your life, but not necessarily in society.
Well, believe it or not, I matured. I matured over the years, and I've realised that when it comes to protests and stuff, there's other ways to deal with things.
All right. You've just hit upon a word. You said you've matured. At what age do you believe you matured?
I don't think we get out of nappies until we're 30, Alan, honestly.
Well, I certainly hope we do.
You know, I think we get asked of a lot of things. We're supposed to make up our minds and plan our lives from such a young age at 18. But I think that, you know, it was into my 40s that I started to look at a spiritual side of myself as well. And I started to get a lot of answers I'd been looking for. And, from there on, I started to mature emotionally and mentally. I processed all of those stories of my life.
When you said spiritual, do you mean as a church believer, or are you talking about something else?
No, I'm talking about crystals and tarot cards and oils. You know, I just opened up a path to start to investigate what else there was about life, because up until that point, I believed in not much of anything.
Now, you've written a book. We should mention that, because obviously you've got a lot more in the book. I wish I had time to read it. So what's the title of the book, and where's it available?
It's My Return to Love.
Yeah.
And it's really, it'll put the pieces together about things that we haven't spoken of today. It's on my website, helentaylor.com.au.
Why did you call it My Return to Love? Are you talking about the love of yourself, that all of a sudden you felt as though you were worthwhile, or in which case do you mean the love?
Yes, because when I looked back over my life, those different experiences that I had lacked love. They lacked it. So whenever I was going through pain and suffering, there was less or no love in my life. And, yeah, by the time I hit 40 and started really, you know, learning about myself, know thyself is the mantra, isn't it?
Yep.
More and more love. I was requiring it in my life. It had to be my fuel. So it was me returning to love.
The Cult with Ciao Baby. Why'd you pick that?
Because, again, it was a bit like Fleetwood Mac. It was that time when I was going out with the man who, you know, was the brothel owner and all that sort of stuff. It was escapism. My life was so bad and I didn't know how to fix it and how to change it, and this was my escape.
Let's listen. Unfortunately, we can't finish it. Helen, we've been talking so much, I haven't kept an eye on the time. And Greg's about ready to take over. Your father seems like he was a really tough man on you. What about your mum? How did she react when your father was treating you like that?
Mum just ignored it. I mean, it was her coping mechanism. I don't blame her in the slightest. She had her times of trying to fight with him, and she was copping her own cross to bear as well.
So did you ever reconcile with your father?
Yeah, a few years before. I tried. When I started on that spiritual journey, I found some new tools and started to have some conversations and got closer and closer, and I got as close as I was ever going to be able to get. Yeah.
So during that time, when you weren't that close, were you still seeing your mum?
Yes. Yes.
So mum always stayed. Helen, unfortunately, look, I could go on for hours. Unfortunately, the 3 o'clock news is there, so I've got to go. Look, I thank you for coming in and also for being so open, because it's not an easy subject when you're talking about things like drugs and that.
And there are more open conversations that need to be had.
Yeah, you know? I agree. Mm. But thank you for your time, and we'll have to take
you're
the
welcome,
3 o'clock
Alan.
News.
Thank you.
Thank you.